Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Jesse Green here at the control panels as always. And today I'm super delighted because we're having a conversation with a colleague and a friend, Dr. Janvi Vora, about scaling. Now, Janvi and her husband, Jay, run two epic practices in regional Australia out in Albury-Wodonga area. And we're going to be talking to Janvi particularly about the lessons that she's learned, the process that she went through, and how to go about it. Now, before we have our conversation with Janvi, just a couple of public service announcements. For those people who are new to the podcast, firstly, let me say welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. If you'd like to find out more about what we do, please do head across to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. It's a free group that's for dentists only, and it's designed to give you training, tips, and tricks to help you create a practice and a life that you love, much like Jay and Janvi have done. But equally, I'd also like to let you know about the Savvy Dentist app, which you can get on iOS at the Apple App Store, or indeed on Android at the Google Play Store. But for now, let's get on and have a conversation with Dr. Janvi Vora. Janvi, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. How's things in Albury-Wodonga today?
Oh, Jesse, thank you very much for inviting me. I really, really appreciate that. Things are pretty good over here. Very nice conditions over here. Loving it.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, Janvi, just your background for the benefit of our listeners, how long have you and Jay been in the Albury-Wodonga area? How did you get to the point where you're at? What's your journey been like?
Yeah, it has been a very nice journey, actually. We came here to Australia in 2006 and had to go through our exams to certify ourselves. And then Jay got his first job in Wodonga, and we came here thinking that we'll stay here for a year and then, you know, move back to Metro because that's where our friends were. And yeah, that's what we thought we'll do. So we moved here in 2007. And then since then, we've never looked back. We had our kids over here and just loving the community over here. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think there's so many good things about living in a smaller town, whether it's Albury-Wodonga. I live in Canberra, which is a bit bigger than Albury and Wodonga, but still small compared to Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I agree, there's a community feel. And do you feel that you and Jay and your family are now part of that community in the Albury-Wodonga area?
Absolutely. They say over here that you have to actually die over here to be a part of community, like to be called local. But we really do feel part of the community. You know, we go out on the street and people know us. Our kids feel, because they're born here. It's a really nice feel to be in part of a community where everyone knows you. You are appreciated everywhere what you do. So it's really nice. But to be candid, when we first moved here, the local newspaper actually did an article on us that somebody from outside Albury-Wodonga has moved here and going to be a dentist, which was 10 years ago. Now the situation is different. There are a lot of dentists over here now. But we were a celebrity back then because nobody wanted to move to Albury-Wodonga. So it was nice.
Yeah, I think there's a lesson in there in the sense that for some people who might be considering a move to the regions, there's a lot of really good things to be said for living in a regional area.
Yeah, people really worship you. When you, you know, solve their problem, they really, really appreciate you.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, Janvi, you and Jay have a couple of practices, and I wanted to talk to you particularly because you guys have done very well. You've built two tremendous businesses. You've done it against the backdrop of raising a family. So it's not like you haven't had other things in your life. You've had plenty to do.
Yeah.
But I guess I wanted to ask you, what was the motivation for scaling up? What was it that you thought, I wanted to create a scaled enterprise versus a traditional operator style model? What was it that led you to that?
Well, thank you very much for appreciating us. But I think the main reason for us to move to Australia and to regional area then was to have balance between family and business. So we didn't want to, back in India, we had seen our parents working from, say, 9 in the morning till 9 at night. And we hardly saw our parents when we were growing up, especially dad. And when we moved here, that was our main motivation, that, you know, we want to have balance between work and family. And also, you know, to run a practice was a dream, and we both love running a practice, but not to expense of family. So we really wanted to have that balance. So to do that, we needed to put systems in place so that it can run without us. It's not all the way there, but we're trying to achieve that.
Yeah. And as someone who's got, you know, fairly close insight into your practice, you might say it's not all the way there, but it's a fantastic business and you guys have done very well. I wanted to just ask you, Janvi, as you've gone on that journey of growing the practices, scaling up, what has changed for you particularly as you've gone through that journey, whether it's a change for you in the business itself, but equally what might have changed in your life and your views and your thinking around that journey as well? What have been the changes as you've gone through it? I know that's a big question, but anywhere you want to go with that is fine.
Well, Jesse, I can tell you when I started Daintree in particular, which was in 2015, I felt by end of 2016, in that 1 year, I had grown as a person and as a, like, just overall, I had grown probably 10 years more in my values and in my thought process and how I perceive things. So I've learned heaps. I've completely become a different person since starting my own business.
What sort of things have you learned? What sort of things have you had to learn?
First of all, it was people skills, how to motivate staff or how to keep them on track as to what your vision is and what they are doing for you. And the other one was I had to quickly learn to organize myself really well so that I was doing, because I was a mom and I was also running a business and I was also a clinician. So I had to quickly change hats and also organize myself so that I was doing justice to all the roles. I think that was the biggest learning curve for me.
Did you find as you were going through that process and learning to juggle roles and learning to put your mum hat on or your clinician hat on or indeed your business owner hat on, did you feel that at any time that you were stretched too thin or how did you manage that? I'm sure there were, you know, Janvi, I know your business well and I know the really good parts of it, but I'm sure there were probably a few nights lying in bed thinking, oh my goodness.
What have I done to myself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely, Jesse. There were so many nights and so many days like that where you would think, my God, what was the need of it? I was so happy being an associate. Like, I didn't have all this stress. And why? But you have to think your vision, where you want to be. And if you have that right, that clear picture in front of you, that this is why I'm doing it, you probably forget in that moment, but you have to keep reminding yourself that, yes, this is why I'm doing it. I really want to be over here in 10 years' time, or this is what my dream looks like. So it's not easy. It's no way easy, but you just keep reminding yourself about that.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things, Janvi. We've spoken already about the importance of scaling because you wanted the balance in your life and we learned some of the things you've had to grow and develop into as you've gone on that journey. And I'm a bit like you. I actually think running a business, apart from being married and having kids, is a massive personal development process. So I think being married and having kids, for me at least, has been one as well. But shortly following that is running a business. So in that journey, once you've had your vision clear in your mind, was that always clear in your mind or was that something that you had to really think about and distill down into something practical? How did you get clarity in that space?
To be frank, Jesse, it wasn't clear. And I think probably still it's evolving. It's not a clear milestone that this is what I want to be. It was not that this is how many million practice I want. It wasn't those milestones. It was more of what sort of life I want to have and what sort of social values I have and whether I can incorporate that. So it's still evolving. And, you know, you have to do a lot of clear thinking, which, you know, you have helped us a lot in doing. And we have learned a lot through that process that how to have clarity around your vision. So we're still working on it, but we do have a lot of clarity since we've joined you as well.
Well, that's really kind, Janvi. I think one of the things that I've observed watching you guys and watching other people as well, and indeed in my own life, is to the point that you mentioned, I think is a really important point. For anyone listening, I think it's important to understand that your vision does evolve.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's seeing the first step or the second step or whatever it happens to be and moving towards that first vision, vision 1.0, if you will, and then seeing where you go from there. So I think, again, for anyone listening, it's important to understand that you don't need to have your life mapped out in detail. No. About exactly how it's going to look, because no one has that.
And if you have that, kudos to you. But even though you still have to keep working towards that goal, and the routes can be different. You know, you just have to be aware of that, because if you are stuck in your mind, this is how I want to go, and if there were roadblocks in that, you're going to be disappointed. So you have to be open about which road you want to take.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Jennifer. That's really wise. Ladies and gents, many paths to the top of the mountain, and sometimes you've got to be flexible and change path, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of paths, what was your path, Jennifer, as you and Jay started with Mate Street? What was the process where you grew Mate Street, grew Daintree? What were the processes that you went through? What was the structure? What I'm trying to distill is, if someone's listening to this program, what are the practical steps you went through that someone else might be able to replicate or learn from that you guys went through?
I think the most important thing is to put systems in place. So, for example, when we started Daintree, we didn't have from first day a lot of patients. So each and every procedure that we did, we wrote it down, version 1.0, obviously, but, you know, we wrote down everything. And that made us easier to train new people. So writing a lot of processes and procedures in practice, and also, you know, utilizing what you have. Like if you're one of the staff member has one sort of quality, use that to your benefit rather than pushing them into a different role. I guess those were the main things that I think I did well starting the practice and doing it, progressing further. At Mate Street, I feel like we were lucky to have a lot of patient base, but at the same time, we were not doing very good with our recalls and retention, so that we were not getting patients back. So we were still getting a lot of new patients, but at the same time, we were not utilizing our existing patients very well. So those were the things when we started working on them, suddenly our fourth position became available very easily.
Cool. Jhanvi, again, there's a couple of little threads I'd like to pick up there, because you've shared some really important insights there. The first one, which is probably the last one you mentioned, but I'll start there and come back to the others, but you made the mention of making the most of everything you've got. You had an existing patient base and needed to make the most of that. My observation for a lot of practices that we work with, and you know lots of these practices too, Jhanvi, is that's a really common thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect for the listener, imploring would be to firstly utilize what you've got before focusing on trying to build new things in. As you went through that process, Jhanvi, what sort of uplift did you see by focusing on the retention piece, getting that recall system working? What sort of, I don't know if you have the metrics at hand, but what was the benefit to you for that? Because I think someone might listen and go, oh, yeah, I get it. Ho hum.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really worth the effort? And I guess my question is, was it worth the effort for you?
Oh, absolutely. It was probably the best thing, because, you know, when we started telling to our staff, reception staff especially, that, you know, we're going to hire a fourth dentist, their first question is, oh, but our books are not that, like, you know, how are we going to fill books? And we showed them that, you know, we do have a lot of patients. We just need to get them back. We need to train our dentists to have a practice of bringing them back regularly. And we're still doing that experiment, but the way we did it was, if there was a new fourth dentist, it would have been hard to share and get them busy. But I've started doing more days just to have that position created and have confidence in the team that we do have a lot of patients. And if you bring them back, we can easily fill the fourth position. So really the fourth position is nearly created just by focusing on these things, not by advertising anymore, not by doing anything new, but just recalling those patients, making an attempt of going two years before and seeing which patients we have lost in the loop and contacting them and making sure they're coming back for checkups and things like that. So really from three chair to fourth chair was so easy just by tapping on those resources that we had.
Yeah. And again, Genevieve, I really think that that's very wise. So again, for anyone listening, these numbers are not specific to any practice, but just as a rule of thumb, hypothetically, if you are able to build an extra chair simply by focusing on retention and rebooking and all those things like these guys have done, even if we said that a chair might generate, just say minimum, you know, $500,000 of revenue a year, that's $500,000 of revenue without any advertising.
Absolutely.
So, ladies and gents listening, please take note of what Genevieve said because it really makes a huge difference. Now, Genevieve, you mentioned a couple of other really important pieces in your journey, the things that you've learned. You mentioned about getting the right people in the right role.
Yeah.
And there's two things. They're getting the right people in the first place and then, of course, ensuring that they're in the right role. Mm-hmm. In a regional area, I'm curious to understand, have you found it easy or difficult to find good talent?
Very difficult to find good talent. So you find good people, but they don't come with any skill set. So you yes. need to really go for attitude and values. Like if those that yes. person has right attitude then and they're trainable, then you have to train them. You very rarely find people who are certificate 3 or support staff wise. You don't get people who are trained. So you always have to go for attitude and then train them gradually.
So one of the systems and processes that you mentioned earlier, and you've done a lot of documentation on that, is one of the systems and processes you documented around onboarding and training new staff?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So what does that look like?
So starting from, you know, if because as I said earlier, we always get people who are people with no training. So they would have probably a young girl who would probably have worked at McDonald's or something like that. So you mm-hmm. probably just have to start from very basics of training them with instrument names. But what we were focusing earlier and what we have recently started doing it is in first week, I just for 3 hours blocks, I just sit with them first few hours, just go with them, go through values and visions of our practice mm-hmm. rather than just teaching them skills, because you can teach skills to anyone, but if they don't know at heart why they're doing what they're doing, you can easily, you know, it becomes mechanical process and then they don't put their heart into doing why they're doing what they're doing. So teaching them our values made a huge difference. And then we have got onboarding in a weekly basis at first, you know, they learn the instruments, then they learn all the treatments, and then they start doing dental assisting like chair side. So, you know, first starting again with checkups, then easy going to fillings. So a lot of support given, but at the same time, if they know that what are their weekly goals that help them to achieve them. So every Monday morning, one person, the person who is training them will sit with them and tell them that this week we are learning this, this and that. So it's very clear for them to achieve those goals.
Yeah. Again, wonderful structure there, Genevieve. I like that a lot. Coming back to culture. Vision and values are obviously part of culture, one of several elements, of course. You and I have had conversations off air plenty of times about culture.
Yes.
I know it's been an important part of your practice, and I know it's been huge in terms of helping you feel like you've got a team who gets what you're about, understands what you do. I guess my question for you around culture, again, on behalf of the listener who this may be new to, or even someone who's heard similar things before but just needs to hear it again.
Yeah.
My question for you is, why has that been such a focus for you in the first place? Mm-hmm. And secondarily, how did you go about creating it consistently? Because culture is a bit like a lovely plant. You need to water it and fertilize it and nurture it. Yeah. How have you gone about nurturing it? So I'd love it if we could just have a bit of a conversation about culture.
Yes, Jesse, it's so easy to do a small mistake in that. And actually, you know, you do regret it for a very long time if you mm-hmm. do a small mistake mm-hmm. in this part. So it's very sensitive. You need to really care for it like a baby because it can easily go down path very nicely. So culture for me, you know, for personally for us, it's very important to, you know, have a respectful workplace where everyone respects each other. Now, you have to show that in action. You can't just tell them that this is our culture, this is our value, and this is what we want to do. It needs to be shown in everything that you do, everything that other team members are doing. So culture is something that you can't see, but you can feel it. And you just you know, you walk in the practice and you see that somebody is yelling at someone, or somebody is, you know, talking behind the reception. Somebody's, oh, that patient's doing that, or something like that. That's not showing respect. So you can't, you just have to be mindful that each and every point people are aware that we, how are we behaving in our practice. So just making sure that when they started our practice, we tell them, this is what we expect from you. This is how you'll see other people behaving, but also grounding them every meeting, every time we meet, we have to tell them that this is what we expect from you. This is how we show them in action. So just not telling them, but also reminding them every opportunity you get, this is what we are here for.
And again, I think with that culture, Janvi, what I, again, have observed working with you guys is that you've got a team who really get what you're about. They understand your vision. They understand what you're trying to achieve, and they fall behind you in that. And so you're all rowing in the same direction. You're all in alignment. And I think anyone who's been in business will know that that creates synergy, that creates speed, it creates ease, it creates flow. And
patients can feel that.
Totally.
You know, they know you don't have to say that this is what our value. They know that we are having fun over here. This is our one of the value, but they don't need to know, but they just feel it that, you know, you are having fun. Everything's smooth over here. They're friends with each other. I'm in right hands. I'm in safe hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. The patients do feel it. And just on the patients for a second, just to pivot slightly, Janvi, you know, one of the things that I think you guys do very well, lots of things well, but we haven't really touched on marketing so much. And I know that you've had tremendous growth just by focusing on maximizing what you've already got. But I do want to talk a bit about your videos because they're fantastic. They're really good. Could you, just for the sake of the audience, could you tell us a little bit about the videos that you've been creating, where the idea came from, and what's been the impact of those videos for you? What's happened?
Yes, so obviously we all know it's a known fact that social media is one of the main way to, you know, get reach our patients. Now, working with you, I realized that our patient, ideal patient avatar was very important, and focusing on them, talking to them in their language was very important. So for me personally, my right patient was working women like me in either professional or even at home, but that was my ideal patient who brought a lot of patients, their kids to our practice, who talked at the school with other moms about us, or who was making decisions for entire family, who where they're going, who they're seeing. So talking to my ideal patient was, I struggled so many times with, you know, what should I pack for my kids for lunch? And sometimes you see talking to other moms that, you know, everyone struggles with similar things. And for seeing other kids and other parents, I realized that a lot of moms really didn't know. They wanted to do right things for their kids, for, you know, giving healthy lunches and things like, or healthy food. But they didn't know what that looked like. For them, it was what was shown on TV. And I just thought, maybe I can help by making some recipes and making some videos about those that worked for me and was easy, was fast, and, you know, I could vouch that they were healthy. So I started making those recipe videos, A, for benefit of my patients that, you know, they can learn from them, but also, you know, it was easy for them to talk to other moms about, oh, have you watched this or have you done this? Because, you know, my dentist makes this video and they are just fantastic. And that way they can talk to other people about our practice.
And how's it been? Because it's very shareable content. I love the fact it's very shareable.
Shareable, yeah.
So how's that been going? Have you had comments?
Yeah, we had a lot of patients. Actually, to my surprise, a lot of dads have commented on them as well, which was, I was quite blown away because I wasn't expecting them, but that was good because these days all the dads cook as well. So yeah, that was good. And I don't have a real measurable number as to, I know how many people have watched it, but how many were, you know, really become our patients, that's hard to measure. But
certainly puts you front of mind in the
mind of people. And on social media, you don't always ask for them to make an appointment. Sometimes it's just content that you give them to help them. There is nothing
absolutely
like it. Like, you know, if you're helping them in some other way, you'll be on top of their mind anyway. So it was easier for us to, you know, do a Facebook or our Instagram post and things like that. So it helped us in that way as well as just giving some contents out for our patients.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really well done, Janhvi. And for people listening, what Janhvi's been able to do is to combine an interest and make it relevant to her ideal patient. And there's lots of ways that you can do that. It doesn't have to be cooking, but it could be anything that you like. It could be.
It could be helping in, you know, going to childcare or giving oral hygiene talks. Or if you're a foodie mom, you know, do something for your kids' foodie team or something like that. Or
absolutely.
A lot of things.
Only limited by your imagination. So I really like that because I think it combines a couple of interests there. Janhvi, I just wanted to look in the rearview mirror for a moment because sometimes when we are trying to build a business, we're constantly looking to the top of the mountain and thinking, oh, this is where I'm trying to climb to. And we forget to look backwards and go, goodness me, we've come a long way. And the rearview mirror is in your car, of course, is smaller than your windscreen. So, of course, we need to be looking at the windscreen more than the rear view, but it is a useful thing to look in the rear view. And I guess I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, you've mentioned a couple of things that you've done well. What I'd really like to just tap into is what little lessons have you learned or boo-boos have you made? Or again, just so that we can shortcut someone else's experience, because there's that great saying that smart people learn from their mistakes and brilliant people learn from the mistakes of others.
Other people.
Yeah. So what have been some of the little missteps that you might have made? And of course, it's only wise in hindsight, but what
absolutely
things?
Yeah. Hindsight is a beautiful thing.
it's a luxury.
I think for us, main thing is if we took some actions when we thought of it as first time, like for example, hiring that fourth dentist position, you know, we could have done that probably 2 years ago, that much we had, but you know, we didn't take actions very quickly. So, you know, sometimes if you have good ideas, don't worry about the other nitty-gritty about it, but just take actions quickly. Sometimes imperfect actions are fine.
Totally.
Maybe we could have done that, and maybe it wasn't successful that time, but we could have learned from there. So yeah, taking quick actions is very important when you're running business. The other thing is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, about the culture, it's very important to nurture that. And we have been guilty of sometimes mistaking and, you know, not putting so much attention onto it. And we have regretted that because so many team members had to leave because of that. So sometimes you lose good team player if you are not nurturing your culture. So just be very mindful of that.
Fantastic. So Janhvi, really interesting because as you've scaled, you and Jay have moved from a key person dependent business, which was all about you guys. And that's now model. That's what we call a profitable business, to one that's a scaled business. So it's now reliant upon systems and team. And we've touched on systems, we've touched on team and culture. And obviously, what I'm hearing you say is that remembering that your source of leverage is through your team. So we need to constantly look at that culture and remember where our leverage is actually coming from.
Coming from, yes, exactly. You always have to remember that you need a team who is going to work for you the way you would, not you would work, but, you know, closely how you would work. Because if they don't know what you're doing or what you're about, they can't work for you then. They can't really work for your dreams.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing that you mentioned, I think, is really critical. And ladies and gents, please take a pen out and write this down. Speed of implementation really matters. It's critically important. And Janhvi has said that imperfect action is a good thing. And I thoroughly endorse that. We use the word prolific beats perfect, or use the phrase, I should say, prolific beats perfect. And that's been our experience as well, in the sense that getting something done rather than waiting for it to be perfect. And as dentists, we struggle with that a bit, I think, Janhvi. I don't know about you, but most dentists are perfectionists. But
yeah, but I think in business, it's fine. So sometimes you get a very good idea and you wait for it for too long and then it's gone.
Yep, I agree. Or the opportunity is gone. So I really endorse that. Janhvi, just as we wrap up, firstly, I wanted to say I really appreciate your time, your wisdom and your insights. And I thank you for agreeing to be a case study of sorts around scaling because you guys have done it so well.
Thank you.
As we wrap up, I guess what I'd like to ask you is, do you have any words of advice for someone who might be sitting in their practice at the moment thinking, I'm working really hard. I'm making okay money, but I'm working really hard. Time is hard to come by. I'm feeling a bit stressed and stretched and, you know, maybe a bit burnt out or not. But what sort of advice would you have for someone who might be listening who's feeling that way?
A couple of things. First is, you know, it might take time to teach your right values, but it is very, very important. So don't look at time at that time. You know, just invest in them. Invest in your team because they are the people who are going to work for you. So me and Jay used to struggle with, oh, but, you know, we could have been working or seeing patients at this time rather than doing this training or sitting with our team for something. So that multiplies quite a bit. Mm. So, you know, invest time in your team. That's very, very important. The other thing is, I know this is a business podcast, but there was something that I feel personally has helped me achieve my goals is, you know, don't just be a mom or a dad or not just a dentist or a business owner. Have another identity for yourself rather than just being a mom or being a dentist or a business owner. Whatever interest you have, you know, invest in yourself as well, because if you don't do that, you will burn out very quickly. For me, it is dancing. So, you know, you just do something that gives you inner happiness. It's very important.
Janvi, I think that is absolute gold. Thank you. Ladies and gents, invest in yourself. Find something that you enjoy to balance out your life. Really critical. And again, taking the time out of your day to invest in your team, also critical. And Janvi, you've touched on a really common concern that dentists have around that is they think, oh, I could be earning money. I could lost revenue.
Yeah, seeing patients right now.
Yeah, but your experience and certainly the experience I've observed in our business and, of course, with other clients as well is that that comes back many, many, many times over. And it comes back not just in monetary terms, which it does, but also in the ability to create time. Janvi, as I said a moment ago, you've been incredibly generous with your time today. And I really thank you and I appreciate all that you've been able to share today. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear you unpack those lessons there. And it's no wonder that you and Jay have done tremendously well with your endeavors. And I salute you both and congratulate you both. And once again, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us today.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks a lot, Jesse, for inviting me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.